Last weekend, I had to wear a heart monitor as the hospital wanted to know the condition of my heart and how it was operating, which got me thinking of a conversation I had some years ago with a Christian friend of mine. He said that you can live without your legs, you can live without your arms, you can go blind, you can go deaf, but you can still be alive. But if you lose your heart, that's it. It's all over. The heart is obviously the most important part of our body. I read an article that said that heart disease is still one of the leading causes of death in the UK. Today, although strides have been made to detect the disease early so that preventative measures can be introduced to monitor those who are at risk, but it's still quite important, our hearts. And as we've probably gathered, as we've read, had our readings and we've sung our hymns, God has much to say about the health of our heart in his word. I know if you remember when Samuel was sent by God to anoint David as Israel's new king, we read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, these well-known words, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." David was called the man after God's own heart. David was held up quite high. David may have been the writer of Psalm 119, which I'd like us to just glance into this morning. But the author is definitely God. As you read the psalm, you see God's divine inspiration in every word, every passage, every verse. God's there. David may have put pen to paper. Maybe he didn't. Maybe one of his scribes did. But it was God who was the author of this psalm. The length of this psalm, unfortunately, puts people off. It's 176 verses. But it's broken down, fortunately for us, into 22 sections of 8 verses. I may have told you this before, but I knew of a mission station in Africa where they received some Bibles, the children, and they pored over and they were given a little challenge. Would they choose a psalm to read or recite, actually? So they went up one by one, the children reciting them. And this young girl, I think she was about 10 or 12, got up and she recited the whole of Psalm 119, 176 verses. That Bible in her hands meant so much to her that she'd learnt all that psalm. It was laid in her heart, on her heart. As Samuel learnt that God looks at the heart of man, this psalm also teaches that God first looks at a person's heart before looking at their outward appearance. We look at this psalm, we will discover that the mighty power of God's word is essential if we as Christians are to avoid heart failure. If we haven't got the word in our hearts, it can lead to heart failure. The journey for a Christian begins where? With a change of their heart. It comes from within us. I had a friend who was one day swearing, smoking and everything, and something touched his heart, and the next day he threw away his cigarettes. He never swore again, and he never smoked another cigarette. There'd been a change in his heart. Romans 10, verse 10, we read this: "For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified." A heart that has been justified by faith needs to develop and keep free from harm. This is one of the greatest themes in this psalm, that our hearts need to be protected. We need to watch our hearts and watch them progress. And as early as verse 2 in this psalm, we read, "Blessed are those who keep God's word and seek him with all their hearts." We need to have Jesus in all our hearts, not just the bits that suit us, but he needs to be completely in our hearts. For those who live by God's word are those who seek him with their whole heart, with the whole of their heart. The heart is mentioned 14 times in this psalm and is the seat of all affection, so that to seek God with our whole heart will mean undivided love. Not just giving him the odd moment, but undivided. He'll have all our attention. I was talking to a friend of mine the other week, and he's a Christian, and we were talking about marriage. And at first he surprised me a bit. I was a bit worried, but then I realised, yes, he was right. He said he had told his wife when he first got married that he loved her very much, but she'd never be first in his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ and God was there before her, and she would never take their place. Perhaps a bit hard to take, but when you think about it, that was how much he loved his Lord and his Father, his Lord and his Father God. He was prepared to put them before his own wife. A love of God's word will increase our love of God. You see, it's all right to say we're a Christian. It's right to say we go to church. But if we don't have his word in our heart, we find that it will stunt our growth. It will hold us back. It will make our heart weak. It asks that Jesus, the wonder of him coming into our heart, what a change it makes. A love of God's word will increase our love of God. This delight in the word of God is constantly to the heart. Contrasted to the heart in verse 70 in the psalm. It says the heart is callous and unwilling. There is no room in the Christian life as Christians for half-heartedness or for people who have got proud hearts. Christians need to give all their heart to the Lord through his word. So far we've looked at three conditions of the heart: giving the whole heart, a proud heart, and being half-hearted. All states that our hearts can be in. In verse 7 we read, "I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous word." Again, you see, heart and word are intertwined all the time. A love of reading God's word in your heart will build you and you will grow. As I said in verse 7, we read, "I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous word." Praise is something we do a lot of, isn't it? Praise does not begin with the lips or on the strings or the sound of the organ, but it comes from the heart. That's where our praise should come from our heart. And in Acts 16 verse 25 we read how Paul and Silas sang praises unto God while they were in prison, having taken a right old beating. But they still wanted to praise their God, their Saviour. I wonder, could we do that if we were in similar positions, if we were suffering, if we were struggling? A heart that is not upright will be short of breath when praising God. You see, you've got to have your heart in it to praise him. The word upright means straight or right. A straight line on a heart monitor normally says you're dead. It normally says there's problems. How can my heart be straight and do the work that God intended it to do? Only through the Word of God, which not only produces an upright heart, but also a clean heart. Our heart must be upright and it must be clean from other things. It must be fully given over to our Lord. Verse 11 reads, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Another well-known scripture. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is not hiding to conceal from others of our love for God and Jesus. Not hiding the word away, but hiding it to be found. You see, we hide it in our hearts to learn, to gain more of it, to enjoy it. And then that way, we can then give it out. I used to know a man who, he would go from door to door selling Bibles. I think they called them in those days colporters. And he used to go to people's door and knock on the door and offer them to sell them a Bible. And if the person said to him, well, fair enough, but I've already got one, thank you. He would say to him, very good, but can I see it? Now, not always did it work, but one lady invited him in and said, oh, yes, come and see it. So she went into their front room. And there was a table in front of the window with a big family Bible on it. A big family. But unfortunately, on top of that was a massive, great big flower pot with an aspidistra in it. Obviously, that Bible had never been read for months or years even. Another story he told me was he went to a house and knocked and the same thing happened. He said, oh, can I see him? Yes, sir. And the man said, come in. So he went into his study and he went to his bookcase and he said, oh, here it is. And he lifted his Bible down from the top shelf. And as he did, a pair of glasses fell on him. Oh, he said, there they are. He said, I've been looking for them for 3 months. You see, obviously, they've got the Bible. They got it. But were they hiding it in their hearts? Do we hide the Word of God on our bookshelves rather than in our hearts? It is good to have the Word of God in our hands, isn't it? And even on our shelves, our bookshelves. But it's, and also to have it in our head. A head knowledge can be good, but it must be first affect our hearts. If it doesn't come from the heart, all our learning and all our book knowledge doesn't mean a thing. It must come from our hearts. We could easily fill our hearts and minds with news from around the world, yet leave no room for the Word of God. This is dangerous as we need the cleansing power of God's Word in our hearts and lives. I read of a man that had a verse in the front of his Bible that said this, this book will keep you from sin. This book will keep you from sin. But it then went on to say, and sin will keep you from this book. True words, true words. Can we say like those two disciples we read about in the New Testament on the road to Emmaus? Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? When we read God's word, does it have the same effect on us? Are we moved? Are our hearts stirred? Are we on fire when we read his word? But remember also, I've heard certain people say that the Old Testament is nothing for the Christian church. It's just the book of Jewish history. But where did Jesus take his scriptures from to talk to these men? He took it from what we call the Old Testament. So the whole of the Bible is there for us to enjoy, to take on board and take into our hearts. In verse 32 we read, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. What a wonderful position to be in, having a free heart. And these section, these eight verses, are all about a man that is depressed and downhearted, yet he is still clinging to God's word. And in verse 28, if you go home and read the book, it's well worth reading. 28, we read these words, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." How easy it is to feel like that as we look at our country today and see how it's turning away from God's word and his teaching. It seems that all the things that I was taught as a young man as being right are now wrong. And all the things that I was taught were wrong nowadays are considered right. Things have completely turned away from God's word. It's so easy, isn't it, to be filled with man's concerns. And in verse 25, that passage, those eight verses, starts off with, "I am laid in the dust." What a picture. So depressed, so downhearted, so miserable that he feels that he's laying down in the dust. But we read it in verse 32. What did we read? In the end, he reads, "I ran in the path of your commands." What has changed this spiritual fitness of this man? What's made him go from him being downhearted, being disrupted? Well, his heart's been enlarged, or another word is set free, by reading, meditation, and obedience to the word of God. We need all those. We need to read it. We need to think about it. But especially we need to obey it each day as we read it. Have we big hearts for the word of God? How often do we read God's word every day, or only on Sunday in the church service? The man wants his heart to be expanded in its ability to serve God more effectively. If your heart's right, if you've got a right heart and it's working right, how wonderful it is to have a heart like that. Verse 36 reads, "Turn my heart towards your commandments and not towards self-gain." The Christian who is running according to God's word is like Abraham, who ran to meet the Lord from the tent door. When he'd done that, he then ran to the herd of cattle in the field to bring a calf for his Lord. His heart was inclined. Have we got a heart that's inclined to study God's word and look at God's word? Is our heart going in the right direction? If you read in contrast, you remember when Martha was distracted with much serving and preparation for Jesus' visit. She was inclined the wrong way. She was looking at the earthly preparations, whereas Mary's position was to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to his words of teaching. Verse 33 reads, "Teach me thy commands." Our hearts can be so easily inclined towards the word, or even busy doing the Lord's work, yet we can be distracted from Christ. Is our hearts inclined to receive God's word? Are we ready and willing to listen? In verse 80 we read, "May my heart be blameless." A heart that is sound, no murmurs, no irregular heartbeat, but works correctly, steadily, and fully. The word blameless can be translated sincere or without blemish. When God looks at our hearts, does he see a heart that is sincere, a heart or a half-hearted heart? Did he see a heart that's sincere and blameless, or one that's only given to him half-heartedly? And finally, verse 111 You probably worked out I haven't looked at all 14. We could be here all day if we did that. But verse 111 reads, "Your commands are my heritage forever ever. They are the joy of my heart." I wonder, is the word of God something of great value to you? Is it more precious than gold? Is it amazing that Christians who are suffering around the world at this time in many forms of unrest, war, and torture, those are the Christians that seem to proclaim, rejoice in their hearts. They're the ones who have the word of God hidden within their hearts, because their hearts can rejoice, because they have a Saviour. Having a cushy life or having a hard life doesn't mean anything. It just comes down to, where is our heart? Is it fully committed? And as we come into the season of Advent and start our journey to Bethlehem, the first start, the first step starts today. We've lit our first candle as we come up to the Christmas season. Where does it start? Our first step? It starts in our heart. Is our heart right as we go into this Christian season? Amen.